Chairman, I was a bit disappointed with Nicholas's comment that it's not the business of this meeting to have a discussion about carrying values and market values. Now, I asked at Babcock and I got a figure, 120 million. On the back of my envelope, I think the Macquarie equivalent figure is probably closer to half a billion, that we're looking at a $500 million write-down if we adopt a mark-to-market approach on our investments in various listed funds. Now, Nicholas has put out a press release saying, quote, it will be increasingly challenging to match last year's net profit of $1.8 billion. Now, the reason it will be increasingly challenging and the huge swing factor in the whole calculation of the profit is going to be the market or the book valuation of the carrying value of our assets. So I'd like to try again, and this time I'd like to bring in the Chairman of the Audit Committee, Catherine Livingstone, and I'd like to bring in the Auditor himself, Ian Hammond, to try and understand how you're going to frame the profit when we get to the end of the full year at September 30. Are we going to take a mark-to-market approach? And how much would that hit be if we took the approach today? Because it's going to decimate, it's going to hit our profit by hundreds of millions of dollars. If we do it, that then flows into the bonus pool, the remuneration policies, that affects dividends, that affects everything. So I think it's absolutely unreasonable for Nicholas to suggest we shouldn't be having a discussion about this. Just take MAP and MIG as an example. You are looking at $2 billion of extra value if you can get MAP and MIG back to the valuations that PwC, which audits MAP, MIG, Macquarie and everything else, claims they are worth. So clearly, before we get the balance date, the biggest and most important thing for this board to be dealing with and for the management, which is so driven by remuneration and bonus pool, is to claim back some of that $2 billion of missing value in MIG and MAP. So I'm presuming that's going to be occupying management's time over the next 3 or 4 months to get that up so we don't have to book the loss on MIG, MAP and everything else. So Catherine, can you please tell us, will there be a mark-to-market approach, and can someone tell us what the current figure is? And Ian Hammond, I'd also like to hear from him because I'm worried about Nicholas. Nicholas created this model. Nicholas is emotionally in love with this model. If Nicholas had his way, and we're seeing it today, he's pretending the model is not dead. A lot of people are saying the model is dead. Nicholas created it. He doesn't want to admit there's a problem. That is where the independent directors and the auditor come in and take control. So we need to hear from Catherine and Ian Hammond on this vital question, which will be the biggest factor in what profit we report for the full year, for the half year to September 30. Thanks.
We can do that in a minute, but first of all, I'd like to ask Nicholas to clarify what he was saying before.
Sure. Thanks for that, and thanks for the question again, Stephen. Just coming back, as maybe I wasn't clear in what I was saying. I was saying that we don't produce accounts on a quarterly basis, so we don't actually look at the issues of write-down of the value of investments at this time. That is an issue, as you rightly say, for the directors, for the audit committee, after the September half year and then after the March half year. In terms of the quantification of those amounts, these are public. They're public. Everybody, our shareholding is public, and the prices are public. Greg advises me that as of today, I think, or yesterday,
closed yesterday.
In terms of the REITs, it's a $56 million deficit. In terms of MIG, it'd be a $110 deficit. In terms of the JREP, we talked about before, it would be a $70 million deficit. There'd be no deficit for MAP. So they're the deficits we're looking at on a daily basis, and of course they will move up and down with the market on a regular basis. The issue in terms of what the directors and the audit committee will look at after September, after March, will not necessarily be a simple mark-to-market basis, because these investments are long-term investments. And so the issue that people turn their mind to at that time is whether there has been a sustained loss of value in terms of these assets. And as I mentioned earlier, to look at that, it's a question of actually looking at what's happening in the underlying infrastructure market at that time. We could tell you what's happening now, and as you know, it's very positive in the underlying infrastructure market. What's happening in the underlying REIT market at the moment? As I said, that's more difficult because we aren't seeing the volumes of property transactions around the globe that we would normally expect to see. So there's some of the issues that the audit committee and the auditors will be looking at after the September and after the March results. In terms of your statement that this will be the single biggest issue affecting Macquarie as of year end, I mean, I frankly would be surprised. It could be because we don't know where the markets will be, both physically and from a listed side at that stage. But adding these numbers up here, we're looking at about $250 million, I think, after profit share. That's the gross number. That's even if we were going to go down that path, as we mentioned, JBREIT, we don't think is particularly reflective of a market given only 20% of it trades. So if I can finish. So if you look at the REITs and MIG together, it's about 160, 170 on today's value. In terms of the bottom line impact of that, broadly speaking, you'd expect it to be a third in terms of magnitude and in terms of the final outcome. So that's the position as to where we are today, but of course it will continue to develop as the year develops.
I mean, the test that has to be satisfied, which I'm sure both Catherine and Ian would attest to, is whether or not, in the opinion of the board and the auditors, there has been impairment. And if you take a sort of typical infrastructure situation, we're being outbid on transactions that we're interested in winning. And if you apply the same valuation methodology to the underlying assets in MIG, it gives you a number well in excess of the current quoted share price. In those circumstances, there's at least a substantial case for not making a write-down if the underlying assets are worth substantially more than what they're in our books at. So the issue of impairment is a complex issue, and it's not just a case of looking up in the newspaper what the current value is. In fact, I believe one of the reasons that unlisted funds are very popular at the moment is that a more fundamental methodology for valuation is adopted for them, and they don't have to go through writing up, writing down every quarter or half year or year or whatever when the underlying value of the underlying assets hasn't changed. So next time around, if you want to press, we can do that, but for the moment, that's the answer on the question.